This is one of our major scriptures. He says, as we have borne the image. So he's speaking about image. And he says there are two types of image. There is the image of the earthy and the image of the heavenly. So it's good to have that in mind, because most times we think the earthy is the same as the heavenly. In the heavens, in things which are not natural, they are governed by laws of levels, of other, we call it wavelength or realms or whatever it is. There are different realms. In the natural, what you see is what you have. You know, you just see a natural thing. You know, so there are laws that govern the natural, and there are laws that govern the spiritual. Okay, so, for instance, it says the image of the physical. You see the physical man, you see your physical body. Alright? But the Bible says that he made us in his own image, after his own likeness. Alright? So that brings up opens up so many doors. Okay? One of the doors he opens is the law of light and darkness. So, God is light. Say, I am light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And we know light is different frequencies. Alright, I know we as Christians, we don't want to hear frequency, we don't want to hear them, we don't want to hear any. You know, we have become like the Pharisees or Sadducees? Okay, the Sadducees didn't believe in spirit. Okay, yet, it was the same very thing they had to face at the end of the day. The people of God, we don't want to believe spirit. We don't want to believe in light. Okay? Everything in this phone that I'm using is all light. Different levels of light, frequencies of light, laws that govern light, and so on. Okay, so the natural world has seen so much of that and they're using it. You know, so I don't want to go so much out of it, but it's just to say that God is a spirit. And because he's a spirit, you don't see him, but you know he's there. Alright? And he made you with the same nature. So within you is a spirit. Your soul is spirit. Your spirit is spirit. And you dwell in body. So you are 2/3 spirit and 1/3 natural. Okay, yes, even with that, we are still sleeping. Amen. So God is a spirit, and they that worship him must do that according to the principles of spirit, of light. So opposite of light is darkness, and the devil knows that very much, and he's utilizing it. So that's one principle that we find, when we talk about the human person and the human body and all that he says. Let's look at the next scripture. Proverbs 18. That was the one I was looking for last week. Proverbs 18. You know, on the road we are walking, this journey we are walking, we are very specific. We are telling God, show us where it is in the Bible. We don't want to follow cunningly devised fables. Okay? So, where is it? Where is the scripture? Alright, so this is one of them. If you are like me, I want evidence. I want proof. He says, the wounds of a talebearer are as what? Wounds. And they do what? They go down into what? The innermost part of the belly. Okay? So if I want something to touch you, the way to touch the inward man is what? Through the spoken, through words. Alright? So if God wants to minister to your inward man, he will do that through words. And we know from scripture that there are three types of words. There is the written word which you have in your hand. There is the spoken word which I'm speaking now. And men speak of themselves, but men also speak by the inspiration of God. Amen. So that is the second one, the spoken word. But there is the real one. What is the real one? The living word. Amen. Jesus said, I am the living word. Amen. I says, forever and ever, thy word is what? Settled in heaven. So, when you begin to address heavenly things, one of the things you must hold is the word. Amen. And Jesus is that word. And that word was made flesh and dwelt and walked amongst us. So every word that we're hearing, every word that is written down for you, is a reality that we can hold. Amen. So it says that which we have seen, we have heard, which our hands have touched, of the word of life. It's a reality, it's a life. Amen. So if I come to God as a fable, just story, we're doing story. That's what you will get. But if you decide to have testimony, experience, you will have the living word also. Okay, so last week, somebody brought another scripture. Let me read that one then. We'll go to the Philistines. I'm just trying to set the base. Hebrews chapter 4. Somebody read it last week. Hebrews 4. If you see, can you read for us? Hebrews 4. Is it 16? Not 18. 12, sorry. So if you have seen it, read for us. Who's reading?
Powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts of intents of the heart.
Amen. So the word of God is both natural and spiritual. Amen. It has a life on it, so it's living. Okay, so it goes down to the realms of the soul and the realms of the spirit. Amen. If you want to minister to the soul, what do you do is words. Amen. That's what God is going to use. He's going to use words or the principles of word. Amen. If you want to minister to this natural man, you also use words. Because Jesus told them, what's that in Matthew 4? What does he say? No. Say, man shall not live by what? Bread alone. By every word which proceeded. Amen. So the natural man can decide to forgo the word and looking at the natural things. And that's what we'll be looking at. But this same body can feed on the word of God. Amen. The word of God is both natural, is both spiritual, and brings life at those levels, all the realms in which we are. Amen. Okay, so let's go on. So we want to go to the Philistines. Talk about the Philistines today. How does it relate to us? What do we have in common? So who can tell us what does the word Philistine mean? And how does it relate to us? Somebody may know. So what does the word, who are the Philistines and what do they represent? Who can give us, who can answer? I'm hearing something by my side. What to tell? I thought I heard somebody say something. Yes. Anybody has something to tell us about the Philistines? Okay, let's read Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Okay, verse 15. Genesis 26, verse 15. Who's reading for us? Genesis 26, verse 15.
In the days of Abraham, his father the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth.
Okay, it's like it's cutting it in the middle. Let's read a little bit. Okay, read from verse 12. Read from verse 12.
Then Isaac sowed in the land.
In that land.
And received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth.
Read verse 16.
And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we.
Okay, praise God. Okay, so this is the story of Isaac and the Philistines. Alright? By the way, we can just drop by the side. You can see that Isaac operated by indifferent law. In the time of economy, Isaac multiplied. I didn't hear amen. Okay. Now someone says in the time of famine, your business will go down. But God says in the time of famine, if you function properly, that he was great. He went forward and became great. And in fact, they say, you are go from us, you are more than us. And all this happened in the time of famine. Amen. So if God gives you a word in the time of famine, go with it. He will bless it. Amen. Okay, so let's go to verse 15. It tells us about the Philistines. And it says here that the Philistines had stopped the well. They closed all the wells that the man had dug. They stopped it and they shut the wells. Can you put the interlinear? Let's look at the word Philistine and let's investigate it a bit. Interlinear. Yes. Click on that. Click on the 6429. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so if Philistine means to roll. Actually, some translation will tell you it means to roll in the mud. Some other people will say it's someone who hugs, who gathers, who dwells in the mud. He rolls in the mud. He's a lover of the mud. He's a lover of the ground. He's a lover of the earth. And it's an immigrant. He just moves from place to place. Has no permanent dwelling place. So that gives us an idea of what the Philistines are. These people, So it's not surprising that all the wells the man dug, they came and closed it. They came and closed them out. We will come back and then we will try to find out what we can learn from that. Let's go to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, another scripture about the Philistines. Exodus 13. Okay, who is reading for 13:17? Exodus 13:17. Who's reading for us?
Although it was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt.
Amen. So the scripture says it was a short road. So sister, why do you think God didn't, this is a short road, and it will bring them where they are going to. Why didn't God lead them through it? Rather chose them through a long road. Yes?
Much war, and their hearts will fail them, and they'll go back to Egypt.
Okay, so
I feel they've not been tried, they've not been strengthened enough to face the wars. So at that very beginning, if they had seen wars, they wouldn't have had the energy to resist.
So how can we apply it to our experience?
Well, from the what we said about the Philistines, we can see they speak about the flesh.
Yes, they speak about the flesh.
A lot of war that we are facing, you know, with the flesh. God does not release all that the flesh has got upon us at once. He allows us to take them bit by bit. You know, as we get stronger, we keep possessing. As we get stronger, we keep possessing. Because if everything badges on us at the same time, there's a likelihood that we'll not be able to resist, have enough strength to resist. And some of us will just buckle and go back to where we are coming from.
Okay, is it possible, have you heard anybody say it's not possible to overcome the flesh?
Many people, or okay. Most people.
Okay, so scripture say that you know that it was a narrow way, but God said, "Look, I'm going to do this." And in other words, the flesh is very, very close to Egypt. In other words, a very quick way to go to Egypt is to go the way of the flesh, because you know when we attempt to overcome, we will see that. It will not work. All right. Let's look at another scripture. Joshua 13:3. We are just toying around with these Philistines to try to get a hold. Joshua 13. Read verse 2 and 3. Joshua 13, 2 and 3.
Borders. This is the land that yet remaineth all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshur from
Sihor,
which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron, northward, which is counted to the Canaanites, five rods of the Philistines, the Gezerites and the Ashdodites, and the
Ashkenites
and the Gittites and the Ekronites, and
also
the Ava.
Amen. You know, we were shouting that time that we love the law of our God. Ashkenazite is there, so we love it. Amen. Okay, the point is that these Philistines, there were five main portions of these Philistines. There were five lords. the question, why are they not one? Why is it five? All right? So there are five lots of the Philistines. Then he mentioned a few others. When we go down, we will see the other one. But the important point I want to bring out there, that these Philistines, they had five. There are five lots. And the Bible tells us about the fivefold ministry, isn't it? Not? So you have five lots of the Philistines. You also have fivefold ministry. All right? It also happens that we have five senses. So are they all together? Everything is 5, 5, 5. You have five laws of Philistines. You have fivefold ministry. And you also have five senses. So I think there is a connection there. We will come back to it. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Sorry, it's like I missed up the... It's like I missed up my scriptures. Let's look at 16:23. I missed that scripture. So let's go to the next one. Joshua 16:23. Yes, no. My God. I think it's, let's look at Judges. Sorry, it's Judges. Judges 10:6. Judges 10:6. Now, this is a very important scripture. And this is the answer to kidnapping and Boko Haram and everything. Amen. So who's reading for us? Wait. Because we are catching it on the tape, so we need to. And others can hear.
And the children of Israel did evil against in the sight of...
Again. Did evil again.
And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth and gods of Asa and
of Syria
and the gods of
Zidon
and the gods of Moab and the gods of children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him.
Okay, read the next one.
And the anger of the Lord was hot against the Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and unto the hands of the sons of Ammon.
Okay, all right, you pretty gets it out. So, who can tell us what is it that weakens the people of God? Show us now. Where is the sin? Yeah, Sister IBS, mention it. Tell us.
No, verse 6 that we read from now says that they forsook the Lord and served him not. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Baal, Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, the gods of, and all the other gods. That when they forsake God, and serve not God, and forsake God, and then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So it's when we sin that the face of the Lord is turned against us.
Okay, so How many people have read Psalm 91 before? When you are going to work, you bring it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, you quote it, and you go. You know, we all do it because we just believe that when we read it, we'll get some life from it. But the truth of the matter is that the life, that the where the strength is in this verse. If we do not serve this God, there will not be a cause for us to go into captivity. Amen. The reason why we are in captivity is because there are gods. There are these idols. Now, for these children of Israel, they had all these many gods. So can someone mention to us our own gods now? Do we have any gods? Where are they? Hey, tell us that. Who's there? Just mention some of the gods. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. Honey. Internet and everywhere. Okay, good. That's not the end though. Let's go and look for them. Let's look at Judges chapter 16. By the way, I think we all have an assignment to read Judges. Because say in the days of Judges 2016, every man did what was right in his own eyes. You know, that's what they call gender stream. You wake up one morning, you are man. The following morning, you are woman. However you feel, that is your gender. Amen. Okay. All right. Judges 16 verse 23. Now, we are trying to identify our God. The gods that we worship. We want to put a name on it. Amen. Remember, we're studying the Philistines and we're relating it to ourselves. So who's reading for us verse 23? God's time. Read for us now. Look, my friend, you should be standing by my meal. Yes? Give God's time. This is very, very important.
16:23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their God, and to rejoice, for they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.
Amen.
Amen.
So these Philistines, remember, is the flesh. They are rejoicing. They say, Samson, brother Chijok, brother Yahweh, our enemy, has been delivered into our hands. And the sacrifice is to their God. And what is the name of the God, brother? So please, who can tell us about Dagon in the Bible and then in how it applies to us? Brother, give him now, He's a preacher now. What is Dagon?
Dagon is the God that during that time when the children of Israel took the ark, you know, and we are held captive by
you're going a bit far, you're running ahead from the scripture you read.
Yeah.
It says Dagon was their chief god.
Yes.
So what is this Dagon? What is the nature of this Dagon?
Dagon is an idol.
How is it
related to man?
How is it represented? When you see there's something that strikes you about Dagon. What is it?
Okay, Dagon relates to me as a person.
I don't know.
Me as a person is self. Is
that
other thing?
That sister wants to help you. Let's see. Let's get the help from the sister. No, you know it, just that we are in a hurry.
Dagon is a fish dog.
Sister, stop there. He said, Dagon is what?
Fish
the
god.
Fish god.
Practically, it has to do with pleasure.
So it has to do with pleasure Practically, what else?
Worldliness.
Another.
Okay, wait now. So let's go a little bit inside about this Dagon. Now, when you see a fish, what is it that makes a fish special? Bro Hubert, I know you are the fishman. When they say fish, they say you can bring fingerling. Is that what you call it? Fingerling. You put it there. You're always laughing. Before you throw your hand, how many would you see, brother? The fish, there is something that you use to recuperate. What is a word that starts with R? What is it? It's very reproductive. In other words, fish speaks for fertility. Okay, agreed? So when you read in your Bible, you see Dagon, you just start it. No, you're missing a lot. Come back. The Dagon speaks of fertility. All right? It speaks of, like you said, pleasure. And that's why you find it where? In the water. Is it not? Uh-huh. So he's speaking about a spirit that works to promote what? Fertility. Amen. And there are many things that go with fertility. All right. So it's a fish god. And in our own environment, how do you relate to it? Yeah, you know it, so you want to tell us. Let her tell us now. Let's see how the two people are sharing. Who is one of you? The three of you. Just tell us what she's saying.
She said immorality.
Oh, she said immorality. So, okay, she agrees. He agrees. So, among the Philistines, their chief god was what? Their chief god was what? Immorality was Dagon. So it's not just eating fish, but the spirit that was there was what? The spirit of immorality. Okay, there's another name called lust. The spirit of lust. Uncleanness. The Bible talks about whoredom. Alright. And we will see that was a major issue for them. That was the god they worshipped. So can we bring it to ourselves? Alright. Now, in the language of the New Testament, what was the major thing? What was the major issue? When it says the works of the flesh, which one was the first one, the first four that was mentioned? Can we read it? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Let's read the works of the flesh. Remember, we're speaking about the flesh, our temple. The things that you have to overcome, the things that I must overcome to keep my temple clean. So whether you're brother or sister, old or young or whatever, this is a spirit that is already within that you have to deal with. All right, let's read. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Number one, adultery. Number two, fornication. Number three, uncleanness. Number four, lascivia. Number five. So how many do you find there? They all have to how many? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Out of that 17, 5 of them deal with Dagon. Is that true? People should answer now. Okay, the first 5 works of the flesh mentioned in Galatians is what? Dagon. Amen. And even 5. There must be something happening with this 5. Oh. Amen. So the major works of the flesh that you have to deal with in your Christian walk is what? To overcome the spirit of Dagon, sensuality. All right. Amen. We will come, because we are going to the root of Dagon, because we want to see if we can uproot the root so that we can be free. Amen. People say amen now.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we've seen Judges 16, 23. Let's go a little bit inside now. Let's enter the house. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 8. Let's enter the house of Dagon. Who is reading for us? 1 Samuel 5, 8. Who is reading?
And they answered. And they sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about Tita.
Read verse 11.
So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to its own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there.
Okay, read 1 Samuel 6, 4. First Samuel 6, 4. Just the next chapter, verse 4.
Then said they, what shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on you all and on your lords.
Okay, read verse 5.
Therefore ye shall make images of your emeralds and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from your land.
Amen.
Amen.
So one of the things we see about this Dagon is that he's very bold. Is it not? He's very, very bold. It is a spirit that likes the ark. He likes the ark, the glory of God, very much. They carried the ark inside the house of Dagon. So there are so many things we can get. Is it possible that Dagon can capture the glory of God? Can quench the glory of God? Is it possible? Okay, let him answer, then we'll get yes. How come they can quench the...
For God to say, quench not the spirit, means that it's possible for you to quench the spirit. That's why he's instructing you not to.
Okay. When they carried the ark and ran inside the Philistine during the time of war, what happened to the ark? Eh? They shouted, yay, the ark has come. The ark of five for us, they said, just wait. Before they knew what was happening, where was the ark? So what can we learn from it? What can we learn from that experience? The ark is not the talisman. Eh? The ark is not a talisman. So there are things that can happen and the glory can... Amen. But the ark can also fight when the rites are done. Amen. We will see the scripture when Samson said, let me go out as at other times. As it was in the beginning, it's now, and ever shall be. I'm an overcomer. Anywhere, whatever I do, I'm an overcomer. It doesn't happen like that. Amen. Verse 5, there is something there. Why is it that they have to make images of those gods in order to deal with it? It's just a question. I'm throwing that question. Think about it. They have to make images in order to take away the plague of the Philistines. They went and made images. All right, let's go to Judges chapter 14. We're moving on because of time. Judges 14. There are other things to pick up. Pardon my style. Don't sleep. But I want us to see the scriptures. So it is not a preaching. We're not preaching. We're just looking at scriptures, one after the other. Okay. Who is reading for us? I want the young man to read for us. A young man. So we are the youth fellowship. Who is the young man that is reading for us from the youth fellowship? Go down. Hey. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. Oh yeah, bro, read for us.
And Samson went down
no, no,
to...
No. Verse 3. 14:3.
Then his father...
Okay. Start from verse 1. They give us a background. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, go on.
And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife.
Mm-hmm.
Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.
Can we all say that last phrase? Get her for me, for she was pleased me well. Amen. Okay, let's say it again, brother. Go. Let's say it. I just want to say it with me. Get her for me, for she. Well. So, is it possible that there are so many of them inside Israel? But it is the one in Philistia that pleases me well. If that one is born again, this brother is born again. All these brothers, this MI fellow, don't mind them. That's what they are doing. They're not gentle. It's at least they're not gentle. Amen. Okay. So what can we learn from it? So what is this saying? What is this speaking of? How can we relate it? Who is speaking now? What do we get? It speaks of attachment. Does it speak of attachment to the world? Amen. So it speaks of attachment to the world. The man was an anointed of God, but there is a very strong pull to the flesh. Amen. And that was his undoing. So we need to take care about the Philistines, about the world. Who can give us a scripture that says something like that in a different way, but in the New Testament that is summarizing what we have read now and puts it in a different way about the world, our relationship to the world? Okay. Do not equally. Which one is that one? 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, yeah, show it to us now. We're looking for... wait now, let's take Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 6. Those who are writing, write down so you can look at it. 2 Corinthians 6. 14. Okay, can you make it bigger? Alright. Increase font size. It says, be not unequally yoked together with the Philistines. The Philistines. For what fellowship hath what? Righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? So you see the way it's traveling. It began with the Philistines, ends with darkness. Amen. Say amen now. That's a prophetic word. You're not just looking at Philistines. Don't say Philistines, let me go to sleep. But he's speaking about something. There is something he's touching. Okay, it's touching darkness. There is darkness within. So, like Brother Sam was telling us at the Tuesday Fellowship, Esther speaks of the soul. Is that correct? Tuesday, people. Esther speaks of the soul. Is that correct? And Esther was being sought after by him and who is the devil. Correct? So Esther was running for herself. And in order to save her soul, what did she do? She went to fast. And she said, if I perish, I perish. Because she wanted to deal with the darkness within. You know, so the Bible says, woe to him that is in Zion. So this is the time when we should all be going to war against the darkness within the soul. Amen. And one way of getting attention is that God will release some Boko Haram people to frighten us a bit so we can fast. But you see, if we are fasting for Boko Haram, what a waste. You are fasting for kidnapping, what a waste. The real man to deal with is where? Is inside the soul. Amen. Last Sunday, it came up different forms. You know. So, the emphasis should be to deal with this attachment within the soul. Amen. Okay, and we see Samson. By the way, how was Samson born? It was by prophecy. They prophesied about him. An angel even came. Or is it Gideon? Amen. Okay, Samson, yes. Samson. Okay, we should read 15. A word concord, that means agreement of fellowship, had Christ rebellion. See, it's even stronger. A what part had he that believed with our word? Infidel. Verse 16. A what agreement had the temple of God with Adam? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in me, in my mind, in my emotions, in my desire, and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Okay, so let's go down verse 16. So can we mention the idols that are within the soul? You know, these idols within the soul, they're images. Amen. They're images. And God is saying, put away the images. Praise God. Amen. Well, yeah, the quietness. Okay, praise God. Let's go on. We're marching down. We're going to Zion. We're marching down. So we have seen she pleased me well. And let's see James chapter 4. Yes, she told you in a minute. James chapter 4. James 4:4. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye that what? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is what? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is what? But how can I stay in Port Harcourt? I'm not a friend of Mr. Biggs. What's the other one? Okay, Sister Uzin. Yeah, she has a comment.
One of the scriptures. 1 John 2:15.
1 John 15, all right.
1 John 2:15.
After, we'll have to explain this, all these things so very well. All right, verse 15.
Love not the world,
neither
the things that are in the world.
Uh-huh.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen.
So when we say the world, a friend of the world, it's my shit. Who is going to break it down for us? What does it mean? Does it mean that I shouldn't wear the dress and wearing fine clothes? Or I shouldn't eat good food? Yeah, who's telling us about the world? In a way that will just enter the heart and just settle. Amen. Who is telling us? What is the world? You, Brother Fuz. What does it mean by love not the world?
Praise God. I may just dramatize it.
Yes. Dramatize?
With my mouth.
God bless you.
I'm looking forward to having a business, a contract. A contract for 30 million. It's sure. What they're asking from me is just 5 million. And I'm ready with it. Man, this is my time. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be like one of them. So I'm going for that business tomorrow. Monday, I'll be in the secretariat and I will deliver my 5 million. I will get the contract. Brother, do you know that I will not even do the business, but I'll be giving the check? You're just wasting your time here. I'm on. And after that is the beginning. They want to test me with that. After that, there is another one for 1.5 billion. And that one is at Abuja. I'm going for it immediately. Man, this government is my government. It's my government.
My time has come.
My time has come. In fact, I don't know. Later I'll come and discuss with you. Maybe I'll just take advice from you to buy one private jet. And you... In fact, I'm going to sponsor Brethren's mission trips. All the mission trips this year. So that is worldliness. Uh-huh. When you do things to acquire or to spite God, forget about God completely. God is saying,
Comes. Okay, go on. You shouldn't stand up again. When he comes, is the final standing up. Okay, don't mind. It's all part of the thing we're talking about. Go ahead.
God is saying that I should not take bribe. And here I am saying that, is it actually true that God is saying so, that I should not take bribe? What about the missions I'm going to sponsor with it? So that is disobedience to God. Worldliness is direct affront to God. It is opposite the commandments of God. Praise the Lord.
Okay, so that's one aspect that deals with business. Yes? How about the one that touches us personally? Other areas. Yes, who's going to tell us other areas? Loving the world. Yes? Okay, let's go and we'll come back to it. Hey, if you don't want to talk now.
Oh, yeah. You want to tell us?
Let me talk about fashion.
Okay, she wants to talk about
fashion.
The F word.
Well, it is laughing.
Fashion.
Fashion.
What is fashion? What is fashion?
The way we dress.
Okay, she said fashion is the way we dress.
I am not against looking fine. Personally, I like looking fine. But
you're looking fine now, so.
Yes. Uh-huh. But the way I look at it, somebody said it last week, is, you know, anything that just come up in the world, in the name of fashion, you just copy. Copy, you know, whether you don't even look at it, is it good or not, you just copy. This one is raining. Just copy. It's the in thing now. You just, even when you don't even have money to do other things, but this is raining, the way it's just shaking, to me, I think it's love of the world. I don't know.
Okay, so she has talked about fashion, the dressing, all right, that we can love the world in doing it. Okay, so who will give us, there's a word that guides fashion. All right, what does the Bible say about fashion? The things you put on. Where is it found? Sorry, where is it found? You say, I say find. Sister, I just say find. I say, why is it found? Sure, I think somewhere in Philippians, is it not? Let's look at it. Philippians 4:1. Is it not 4:6? Ah, okay. I missed it by one. Okay, Philippians 4:5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What does moderation mean? Well, I don't want to waste time on it. You know, we can argue. Okay, I can tell you, look, the way I'm dressed is my own moderation. Your own may be different. Yeah, bro? You have your own moderation. My own moderation is different. So, you moderate, I moderate. But there's a scripture that settles everybody. What is it? The Lord is at hand. So, he's telling you, you have to look in. Alright? You have to look in. So, if somebody is sincere, yeah, if your moderation is by the Spirit and my own is by the Spirit, it will be equal. Amen. So, the Spirit of God is what equalizes it. Because you have a Spirit that will tell you this is excess. Alright? But if you look excess by, if you use excess by what is happening around you, if I see that you might go out of the way. So, the Spirit of God is what is the gauge of the excess. Amen. You want to say something?
I was just listening to Brother say some time ago. They were talking about this issue of the world and looking like the world. So he was saying that sometimes we follow the trend. For example, if you say now, you may be long clothes, maybe long skirts, long gowns, you know, and you follow them. You change your wardrobe and start buying long, long skirts and long, long gowns because the world is wearing long skirts and long gowns. Tomorrow, they say it's now short one. You also follow. You change your clothes and start buying short, short ones. Because, so you're just flowing with them. If today is low cuts, that is the in thing, all the ladies are cutting their hair low, you cut your hair low. That time you now decide that you like low cuts because the people of the world are cutting low cuts. And then tomorrow, the people of the world now say, no, we want long hair. You now also decide that you want long hair. So your soul is just moving along with them. So he now gave an example. He said one day he went to a supermarket and he stood at the door. He was just watching the people as they were coming out. All of them had the same kind of hairdo. You know, so he was now saying that he's sure that some of those people are people of God who believe Jesus Christ, but they were no different from the world. You know, that we should not flow like that. If you decide that you like low cut, for example, let it be that it is you that likes low cut. Let it not be that it's because the people of the world are now liking low cut. That is why you like low cut. So it should be, it should, I don't know if...
Okay. No. I'm moving on. Let me bring my moderation in the spirit. Remember this time we said that Dagon is the war, is the god of Philistia. Is that correct, Braken? Dagon is the god of where? I would say Philistine is Port Harcourt, is it not? So Dagon is the god of Port Harcourt. All right? The fashion of the people of Port Harcourt is to worship Dagon. True? People should say true now. Bro, say true. Is it not so? So the fashion of the world is sexuality. If you like, throw it up and hold it. You put this in your pocket. Anywhere you go, it is what? Sexuality. And where is the sexuality? In the heart. It's the inward man that is wearing the trouser, wearing the shirt. And the reason why he's wearing it is to worship Dagon. Okay, that has settled the whole matter. It has settled the matter. Okay, so can we allow two people now? Then we'll go on. All right. Okay, sister. All right, let's allow the sister. Then after that, brother.
Praise God.
And then we go on.
I just want to bring our mind to the understanding that fashion is not just dressing. Fashion is the way things appear. The way you say the fashion of this, we're talking about the way the world do their things. It doesn't have to be dressing only. My judgment, if it is based on worldly ideologies, it is fashion of the world. If I have to take a decision based on the influence of ideologies of the world, I may be dressing very, very well, but I am very worldly. You understand? So it's not just about fashion and dressing per se, but the principle of the world is the guiding thing of that person. Then it's, the Bible says the fashion of this world passes away. The ideology, philosophy today, tomorrow another one will come. You know, that kind of thing. It may not even affect my dressing. I said, most of the people that are very worldly, they dress very well. Very well-dressed suits. You don't see anything that will reveal anything. But the principle of their judgment is based on worldly ideologies. That's what I wanted us to bring out. It's beyond dressing.
Okay, so it's idea. That means it's somewhere there. So we are going there. Let's go quickly there now and go and address it.
Praise
okay, brother, yes.
Hallelujah.
That's what I said, let's go forward. We are going to land the man.
When you use the word fashion, I want you to consider what is fashion. You know, when somebody is making an image, he's actually fashioning something, isn't it? He's causing something to take a particular, what now?
Shape. Appearance.
And form. So fashion, to some extent, is also forming. Are we together?
So, or, yeah, so another word, form.
Conforming. Yeah. That's when you say fashion, you're talking about conformation.
Oh, yeah, forming.
You're forming something. It's taking a particular shape. Now, there's a scripture that comes to my mind. When you are talking about the world, we're actually talking about a spiritual environment. Now, whether you like it or not, there is a frequency in which there is a spirit. There are some titles the devil has. One of them is the God of this world now, world. Now, it means that anybody who is in that frequency called the world is under the government of what now? The devil. That includes whether you're born again or not. That's not the issue. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, because I see that if you deal just from the externals, there is no fixed standard of how short the dress should be or how long, you understand, it should be. It simply becomes a matter of each individual opinion and choice. And you can argue from now till the end of the day. Everybody has his own position. But when we see that we're dealing with a spirit, somewhere else, the same devil is called the god of this age. Now, somebody translated it somewhere. It's called it atmosphere of thought. That's the translation. He called it the spirit that controls and rules the atmosphere of what now? Of thought. It is a way the mind works. And at the end of the day, there is a spirit that is there determining all that. Every fashion. I have a book called Fads and Fobos. Now, this is a book that shows, if you read it, it's a big book from 18-something. The kind of trends that became the craze. And they put pictures. There was a time in the 60s, it was what they call streaking. Streaking means you strip naked and then run from your house across the street and dash into the other house. Just to show that you can what now? You can do it. And suddenly in America, it became the craze. Young people were just streaking. Suddenly you are going around, you see somebody on a bike, just naked, and he just done it. He just moves across. It was a fad. And suddenly people got caught. I was able to look at things. That book opened my eyes. I said, time it was teddy bears. Everybody wanted to have a teddy bear. There was a time it was twist. Some people would dance it from morning, consistently, continuously into the night. So when you look at the whole thing, you see that there's a spirit at work now, at work. It's not an intellectual thing.
Amen.
Now, as long as that spirit is controlling you, all this talk we're talking, do you understand?
It says
there is a spirit in the world. That is just the point I want to make, brethren.
Amen.
There's a spirit in us, and there's a spirit in the world. As long as that spirit is in you, you are what now? Worldly.
Amen.
Praise God.
So let's wait now. So let's go on. We will come. Don't worry. We are just building up. Amen. So what we have said is moderation. And he said moderation is not, just don't look at the natural. Look, moderation, apply it also to the inward man. Amen. Okay, good. Let's go to the other one. First Samuel 13. We're looking at the principles of the Philistines, the way they operate, the principles of the world. Okay. 13, 19, and 20. Who's reading for us? Who is reading? 1 Samuel 13, 19, 20. Okay, let me read. Say, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, let the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his spear and his quarter and his axe and his mattock. So you want to go to war. You want to fight the Philistine. He said, please, can you sharpen the axe for me so that I can cut you up? Does it happen? Uh-huh. But here, the people went and they said, look, let these guys, we allow them. They controlled. Amen. So the devil knows the source of the things we want to do to fight against him. And he wants to be in control of it. He wants to moderate how we are going to do it. Amen. And when David was going to fight him, he went and asked for a weapon. He used a different method. Amen. So we need to change our method if we are going to overcome. Okay, so 1 Samuel 7:13 is another principle there. First Samuel 7. Sorry. I missed it out. Let's go to Judges 14. Sorry. Judges 14. Okay, it says, verse 4 says, but his father and his mother said, and his mother knew that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. What I wanted to bring up, verse 4, Judges 14:4. Knew not, yes. So for at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. All right. Let's look at another scripture that tells us that. Judges 15:11. Verse 10, Judges 15:10. And the men of Judah said, "Why are you come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he had done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." So, what am I trying to show them? I was just trying to bring out the mentality in the church today when it has to do with the flesh. The general mentality is that no way does not that the Philistines are rulers over us. We cannot overcome the flesh. We cannot overcome the world. We cannot be overcomers. So that is the general thing that you find. And there is no way you can come against the devil to overcome him when you believe it. Is that true? Praise God. Amen. Okay, you will say, "Well, I cannot overcome." If you say you cannot overcome, you have said what the Philistines want you to say. Okay? No way down not that they are rulers over us. But David was different. David was different. So we have to choose, are we going to go with the rest of the church, with the rest of the report, or are we going to be like David? To say, "Today, I am going to overcome you." So you can say to those spirits that you are contending, "I must have victory over you." It's a choice that you can make. That is why we brought it out very clearly. Judges 16. This one is very important. I'm just rushing. Judges 16, verse 21. Okay, let's read from 20. 19. Samson and Delilah. You see, "And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." The 7 locks piece of his priesthood. Is that not correct? That was the strength. And brethren, the strength of my life is my priesthood. Amen. Righteousness is where strength is. When a man, if the foundations be broken, what can the righteous do? When righteousness is not the foundation of where we are standing, our priesthood is gone. No matter whatever noise we are making. So we will take care to notice that. But look at verse 20. "And she said, 'The Philistines be upon you, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.' And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him." Amen. So it's a lesson for us, for me and you. But look at verse 21 is where I'm going to. It says, but the Philistines took him. What was the first thing they did to him? They put out his eyes. May the Lord restore my eyes. Amen. You know, when we love the world, the first thing that goes is what? Our eyes. When the Philistines, when the first thing that goes is what? The eyes, the vision. Amen. They knock it off. How many people have their eyes knocked out here? But there is hope. Because you can say, oh Lord, open down my eyes that I may behold. Hallelujah. So it's a restoration. If our eyes have been plucked out. There's a scripture we read, like says something that when somebody does that, the eagles of the valley shall, the raven shall pluck it out. Do you know that scripture? Uh-huh. When we walk in rebellion, the eyes will go. So Samson lost his vision. He lost his eyes. And that is one of the major effects of the Philistines. That principle, when they war, when the flesh wars with us, is to take away our vision for God. So I want to move on now to David, to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. This brings us into the fourth part of this study. 1 Samuel 17, talking about David. Now, the first principle I want to bring out is in verse 4. Now, when you fight with the devil, he normally has a champion. Who can tell us the name of the champion in our life? He has a name. You don't have Goliath, but there's a Goliath there. What's his name? Not flesh. There is a champion walking inside you, walking inside me. What's his name? So if I say it's besetting sin, will that be correct? All right. Is anybody who doesn't have besetting sin? That's a champion. Amen. When I call it flesh or anger, that is the name. But there is a spirit that is a champion. For your lifestyle, for you as a person, there is a spirit. Amen. And the rest of the church says, go, don't meet that man, no, you can't overcome. Hallelujah. He was there for 40 days, jumping around. Nobody could get up. Praise God. As a champion. Now, let's go down to verse 19. Now, this is where the devil wants you to be. And maybe that some of us are there. You cannot win the war in that place. What's that place? Verse 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel. Where were they? You're going to fight the devil in the valley. He is in the hill. The battle is finished. Amen. You cannot fight the devil from the valley. If you want to win the war, you must get out of the valley. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's one principle. The devil wants you and I in the valley, permanently in the valley. One day of the week, up on Sunday, but the rest of the week, down in the valley. Amen. So you must do something about it. Amen. Okay. Let's go to verse 21. What does verse 21 talk about when you are dealing with the Philistines? Say, for Israel, and the Philistines had put the battle where? In array. Army against army. How many people know that we're in the Third World War? If you know, raise your hand. How many people know that we are in the Great Tribulation? If you know, raise your hand. Okay, we're still waiting for you to come. Amen. So, the Philistines have declared war. The flesh has declared war. And if we are going to beat the devil, we must also declare war. Say amen now. There's a scripture that I want us to read in Timothy. Say, no man that warred, what does he do? Can we find it? Can we find that scripture? Is it 2 Timothy 4 or somewhere? Or is it 2? Try 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in the Lord, and the things thou hast heard among many witnesses, build thou. Verse 3. Now, therefore, what? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. I entered God is good motto from Lagos to Port Harcourt. Haven't I tried, brother? It was a very good ride. Amen. Amen. That's my own hardness. Amen. Amen. You to have mercy on your brother. That was my own hardness. Amen. Desire your own hardness. Amen.